Two gates, but one way to life. Two gates, but one way to life. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, we read. Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow that leads to, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Have you ever noticed in the Word of God, God gives us choices? Wherever we see two or more things or people, we do have a choice. It does represent choice to us. We make choices regularly about what we shall eat, what we shall wear, and where we will go, and the route we will take, and with whom we will travel, and who will be our friends, who will be our confidants, how fast to drive and how slow to drive, and who will take out the garbage at the house, and who will do the dishes, and all of these things represent choices. For a person in school, you've got some homework, you have some assignments in college. When am I going to do it? How am I going to do it? Am I even going to do it? What television programs to watch? How much time to spend watching TV? We do have choices. Isn't it true? But one thing is also true with the choices that we have is that there are consequences to the choices we make. And so here we see various comparisons and contrasts throughout Scripture. Interestingly, I list just a few of them. We see comparisons and contrasts between light and darkness. Which will you choose? Good and evil, heaven and hell, strength and weakness, peace and war, love and hate, poverty and wealth, spiritually and materially, poverty or wealth, health and sickness, life and death, joy and sorrow. We've been given various choices. And so we compare these things. We make decisions based on certain perspectives that we have in life, based on the outcome that we are looking for, based on our desires, our wants, our wishes. We look at two things, we compare them, and we make a decision based on which we think somehow is going to benefit us, or perhaps which would be simply the best choice to make. God gives us choices. He created us with the capacity to make decisions, the capacity to choose. Aren't you happy? God didn't make us as robots. He gave us choice. Not so that we would just serve Him as robots, or worship Him mechanically or programmatically. Again, He gives us choice. He also tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 30 that God has placed before us choice. He has given us life or death, which will we choose? The text before us today, Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14, a continuation of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. One of the key emphases here that we see throughout the Sermon on the Mount is a comparison between external righteousness and internal righteousness. The Pharisee says it's important to have external righteousness to show that you are righteous. Don't care so much about an internal change, but the Word of God encourages and focuses on the heart. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God sees our hearts. We're told that it's not what enters the man that defiles the man, but it's what comes out of him, because it's a reflection of our hearts. We have choices to make. Regardless of the choice we make, again, we see the options. We try to figure which way to take. Do we go this way or do we go that way? Who do we honor? Regardless of the choices that we make, I want us to understand something today, that it only takes Christ and the cross to enter that narrow way into eternal life. There are no other choices. There are no other options. There remains but one way to Jesus Christ. Which will you take? Have you chosen this way? I am so glad that God has provided this path through His Son, Jesus Christ. And that many of us here today have chosen this path. Others, of course, have not chosen this path. But our Savior patiently waits. He's not slow, but He patiently waits because His desire and His wish is that all would come to repentance. But again, we do have the choice to make. John MacArthur, writing about the decisions that people need to make, he says, now Jesus presents here in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus presents the choice of entering the kingdom or not. It is just that simple. Are you going to make the choice to enter the kingdom of God or you will not? Here the Lord focuses, MacArthur continues, on the inevitable decision every person must make. The crossroads where he must decide on the gate he will enter and the way he will go. At one point or the other in our lives, we come to this juncture, we come to this crossroads in life where we must make the decision. Will we enter or will we not? Again, we see before us today two gates, but only one way that leads to eternal life. First of all, we're provided a commandment that we need to ponder, a commandment that needs to be pondered. We are simply told here, enter by the narrow gate. Enter. This is a commandment Jesus is presenting. Enter this way. It's a commandment. It is in the imperative, but it's also in the aorist. So that's a very interesting combination because as the imperative, it presents to us a command. It's an urgent call that needs to be responded to. Respond now, as it were. Respond as already, some of us may say. It requires immediate action, immediate attention, immediate response. It is very urgent. One of the reasons it is so urgent is because we have today, but tomorrow is not provided. It's not promised for us. But not only is it the imperative, but again, it's the aorist tense. Now, normally the aorist tense speaks about some actions in the past, but it doesn't always have a completed action in the past, sort of a once-for-all action in the past. Sometimes it continues. And when the aorist and the imperative comes together, it's a commandment that needs to be responded to already. Respond right now. Now is the opportune moment. It will not always be available to us. This way, this gate that Jesus Christ has given to us through His blood on the cross, this invitation to enter, we will not always have the time and the opportunity to respond to that, but we have now. Enter this narrow gate. We are provided with the reasons why we should, which we looked at a while ago. This is a very important matter. We cannot afford to linger. We cannot afford to delay. We cannot afford to wait any longer. We need to enter this path. It's a narrow way. It's a gate, a narrow gate that leads to a narrow path. It begins right at the foot of the cross, as it were. Now, one of the things we notice about a gate or a door, which is seems quite obvious, but we'll just mention it just for a few seconds. A gate or a door, when open, it provides access so that we can enter. But shortly thereafter, that gate or that door will also close, denying access and entry into that room, into that house, as it were. So again, when these terms come together in this one word here, it is telling us the gate is now open. This door is open to the way of eternal life, but it will not remain open forever. The time to respond is now. two gates, but one way to life. We're told that Jesus is this door. He is this gate. And it's only through him that we have eternal life. Here is the command, clearly presented. You might say, well, I don't see it as a commandment. Well, I understand that. Just looking at the pure English version, you might not see that. But it's a command. Again, combined with the aorist tense, is something that needs to be responded to right at the very moment. Have you ever noticed just a slight difference when you look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 11? Give us this day our daily bread. Give us right now. Give us for today. Today only, our daily bread. There is something urgent about today. Perhaps it's the need that the person is having. Give us right now, this day, our daily bread. In contrast, when the very same Lord's Prayer appears in the book of Luke, there is a slight change or nuance that we see there from the inflection. Here we have, give us this day our daily bread. In Luke, Luke says, give us each day our daily bread. Give it to us today, Lord. Give it to us tomorrow. Keep on in the imperfect tense. Keep on giving to us our daily bread. But here, we don't have and not promise tomorrow. Here we have today, and the command is enter right now. Enter this narrow gate. Now you say, why should I enter this narrow gate? Because if we don't enter this narrow gate, then we're going to stay in a particular place where we are, on a particular path on which we are, and we will see where that path leads to. So here we are presented with a command that needs to be pondered. Don't ponder too long. Say yes to the Lord if you have not yet said yes to him before it's eternally too late. A command to ponder. Secondly, we have the pathway to sin and destruction. A command to ponder, but then a pathway to sin and destruction. Notice we are told, for the gate, or it could even be because, enter this narrow gate, for or because the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. A pathway to sin and destruction. Notice that the entrance to this gate is wide. It is wide open. The idea here is an entrance gate that is wide or it's broad. The Greek term here, it is spread out. It is flat. Lots of options exist along this path as we enter through this wide and flat gate. The natural topography of this pathway on which many of us have traveled and on which many are still traveling. Notice it's described as being easy. It is a wide gate. It is a flat road, if you may. It is easy. It presents a sense of ease and allurement along this path. The entrance is wide or broad, as some versions may say. The pathway is easy. Why is this pathway so easy? It's easy because it's filled with the pleasures of the world. It's easy because of unrestraint and freedom and sin that exists along this path. We can, you've heard it said, just do whatever you want to do. Do it with all your might. As long as it pleases you, do it with all your might. Unrestrained sin, unrestrained evil, as it were, at least in the eyes of man, dwells on this path. Ungodliness, pride, sin in all its fashions. The celebration of sin is there. All things that dishonors Christ are there. False doctrine, the flickering lights that lead to destruction, you will find on this path. Some might not like for us to say, but you think of what's going on in Uptown Charlotte over this weekend, this gay pride, this parade that is there on the broad road. Notice one of the things I say, not only is sin there, but there's this celebration of sin there. Whenever we speak against sin, we're called intolerant. Have you ever noticed That neo-tolerism as it is today is not just that we can get along and tolerate each other, but what they want for us to do is to celebrate the sin. Don't say anything about someone's sin. That was okay back in the days. Don't ask, don't tell. But today we need to celebrate the sin, particularly as we are being forced to these days of homosexuality. Celebration of sin we find on this path. It is easy. Lots of pleasures are there. Lights that flickers that seems to drive towards lots of pleasure we will find along this path. But don't forget, it's the path that leads to destruction. It's the path that leads to destruction. Destruction or punishment or ruin. But the idea here is specifically as it relates to eternal destruction and misery in hell. This is not the kind of a temporary thing that you bump your foot on a rock and you feel some pain temporarily, but then it goes away. This is it's a path that leads to eternal destruction. And again, we are told many enter there. Many are there. One of the reasons many are on this path, the truth were known, you and I were on this path as well. All of us were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. The wages therefore of sin is death. All of us came into this world on this broad path. We simply entered this broad path because, as David reminds us, in sin my mother conceived me. So the whole world, as it were, entered this path. So the idea here is, if you can picture a large group of people, every single person who has been born into this world, and of course you know there are only two people that are excluded from that list. So if you were in a class and I asked the question, I'm sure you would say Adam and Eve. Therefore, every single person born into this world were or would be on this list because we enter this world on this broad path. We came into the world with sin, the banner of death over us. We were headed to destruction. So if you can picture the whole world at one particular point, a huge number of people on this path, which means the path must be broad enough to accommodate every single person. And as we are walking along this path, the pleasures of this world and the disappointments that we find, but somehow convincing ourselves still that we need to remain there because of the pleasure and the little temporary joy that we find here. Along the way, as we are traveling, we see a narrow gate. There is this narrow gate as we travel. And here is one standing at this gate saying, get off that path. Get off that path. This path leads to eternal death, destruction, damnation. Get off that path. What's your response going to be? How foolish would it be for you to leave here continuing life on that path, knowing full well that this path leads to destruction? Can you think of a group of people heading on a wonderful sunny day? Perhaps they're in Jamaica, I don't know, some beautiful Caribbean island like that. I'm a bit biased, as I'm sure you know, particularly since last month this time we were in Jamaica, albeit not at the beach, but we were there. But if you can consider a group of people in a bus on a beautiful sunny day, heading to the beach. They are having a wonderful time. Lots of singing, lots of chatter, lots of games in the bus, but they're thinking about the ultimate destination of going to the beach. Perhaps it's a location they've never been before, and because this journey was quite long, it took a number of hours to travel to the destination. Let's say one young man falls asleep. And I'm not talking about sleep. I'm talking about deep sleep. I'm talking about join bungies, as we might say in Jamaica. That means You're saying a lot of things and making a lot of sounds in your sleep. You're snoring. You are far gone. Maybe from here to Irinjaya, wherever that is, you're gone. But somehow you're awoken by the shouts of people crying, the smell of smoke and the crackling of fire. And as you look around, you realize this bus is on fire. It's being engulfed with fire. Some people are jumping out the window. There's a stampede to get to the door. People want to get out of this bus because now it's on fire. No longer does it represent pleasure and joy to them. They want to get off this bus. Can you imagine this young man? He wakes up, oh la la, and goes right back to sleep. How foolish would that be? No, he would want to get off that path, get out of that bus as well. And he would want to do it right now, realizing he may not have another opportunity to do so. Today is your opportunity to get off that path, that dangerous path, that destructive path. Today is your opportunity. Would you be like this young man to see the obvious danger and destruction on the bus and go right back to sleep? Or would you want to get off the bus? Certainly, you would want to get off the bus. Again, thanks be to God that through Jesus Christ and Him alone, a way has been made. The way has been made for us to get off this bus of eternal destruction through Jesus Christ and His finished work on the cross. A command to ponder, a pathway to sin and destruction. And then finally, you will say, 3 points, Pastor Pierce? We've never seen that before. Praise God. The way, the pathway to holiness and life. Verse 14, for the way is narrow, the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. The gate is narrow, and the way is hard in comparison to the easy path and the easy life on the broad road. This gate is narrow in comparison to the broad or the wide gate. This gate is narrow. In comparison to the other path, many are on that path. Few are on this path. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are true. Actually, there's one more point to come. Sorry if you got too excited over the third point. The way to life, holiness and life. We enter our entrance to this path, again, is through Jesus Christ. It is narrow. It's filled with lots of obstacles. As part of the word for narrow here, the suggestion is that there are obstacles on this path. But praise be to God that there is no mountain too high that we cannot scale with the help of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8, I call your attention to this text just for a few seconds. Paul is going to describe for us just a few obstacles along this path. Some of us may experience it. It might be our education. It might just be our way of thinking and the evidence that we look for in various things. But Paul says that the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. But to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So the cross, the gospel, the way of Christ might appear to be foolish to some people, and that might become their stumbling block. That might become the obstacles that might prevent them or keep them or delay them from getting off this path. Some obstacles might be pride, humanism, human wisdom and reasoning, unbelief. These might just be some of the obstacles that we might find on this path, this very narrow path. But would you allow human wisdom? Would you allow the pleasures of the world to keep you from enjoying a relationship with Christ and having the hope of being with Christ for all eternity? Would you allow that? But again, this pathway to holiness and life, it is narrow. But again, not only is it narrow, but this path, it is hard. The root word here, it carries the idea of affliction, of trouble, of suffering, of tribulation. It's not an adjective, actually. It is a verb that describes the process, arduous process of squeezing the juice out of grape. The perseverance that is involved in that process. The difficulty that is involved in that process. It's a hard path. What do we mean? It's a difficult journey. Yes, on this path, we find sinners who are saved by grace and struggling to love Christ and honor their fellow man. Yes, on this path, we might find a few hypocrites, because isn't there some point or another in your life and mine, those of us who claim the name of Jesus Christ, find ourselves there? Yes, on this difficult, this hard path, we may find some of those there. But that's not the only thing. On this path, we find those who are weak, those who are sick, those who are sorrowful because of one loss or the other. Those who may weep at night, but thanks be to God that the joy of the Lord is our strength. We find this on this path. On this path, we also find some perseverance. We find self-deniers on this path. Isn't that quite contrary to the easy path of the broad way? We find people carrying their crosses and helping other brothers and sisters bear their own cross and their burdens as well. It is here on this cross, at this pathway, that we seek to esteem others above ourselves and their needs above ours. It is on this path, it's difficult, it's a hard path, because on this path, we might find some persecuted on this pathway. But thanks be to God, we may be persecuted, but we are not abandoned. We may be afflicted and crushed on every side, but we are not destroyed. Why is this so on this hard path? Because we are more than conquerors in Jesus Christ, who loves us and gave his blood for us, shed his blood for us on this cross. So therefore, on this path, we find men, women, boys, and girls bought with the blood of Jesus Christ and washed in his blood and sealed to the very day of redemption on this path. Aren't you thankful that you're on this path? I'm happy I'm on this path. On this narrow path that we enter through the gate of Jesus Christ, this difficult road to travel, we might find some patience there. We might find some self-control there, some loving one another there, even though we struggle with that at times. We see demonstrations of the fruit of the Spirit there. We see persons struggling to put on and bear the whole armor of God on this path. We find those who are seeking to serve Christ and to honor Christ, the redeemed of the Lord, children of the King on this path. We might be discouraged at times, but we find encouragement in Jesus Christ. Our struggles might seem to be like giants in our sight, and we might be like grasshoppers in their sight, but Jesus is on our side. On this path, it's a hard path. Yes, it is. We admit it's a hard path. But Christ is with us. We have the hope of eternity. We have assurance of salvation on this path. We have those on this path whose names have been written in the Lamb's book of life. We see righteousness on this path, peace on this path, the presence of Jesus Christ on this path. So again, the path may be hard. Yes, it might be difficult to walk at times. But the end result, my brothers and sisters, the destiny, as we might say, is out of this world. Out of this world. Why would you remain on the broad path that leads to destruction? Why would you knowingly stay on a bus that is going over the precipice. A bus that is heading nowhere just because of the little light that is on it that you know is going to go out. The scripture tells us it's a path that leads to destruction. Why would you remain on this path when you can have Jesus Christ as your shepherd, as your anchor, as your victor, when you can be safe in the hands of Jesus? Yes, you might be harassed by the devil on this path, but again, our victory is secured in Christ. It might just be a difficult path, so we wouldn't be surprised when we find that. It's amazing, the scripture makes it abundantly clear. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. It leads to life, eternity with Jesus Christ. And I hope you will find it before it's eternally too late. The devil may come. We see in John 10, his threefold ministry, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But those of us who are in Christ Jesus, again, we can't be touched. Why? We are in Jesus' hands, and he is in the Father's hands, and we have double security. I remember a few years ago in Jamaica, well, might be a little bit, a minute as they say, I remember a new security company came on the scene and it tried to distinguish itself from all the other, you know, private security companies. And it tried to describe the sort of a service that it would offer and the security that people would have. And it compared a few other companies that previously existed before it. And then there came this little slogan or this phrase that if you come to our company, you will have security Rambo style. Now, I don't know if it's Rocky 1, 2, 3, or 4, but you will have great security is the best way they could demonstrate it. But few, literally a small group, a small amount of people enter through this narrow gate, on this narrow way, this narrow path. Very few find it. But in order to find it, we must be seeking for it. We must seek the Lord while he can be found. Knock and it will be open to us. Call upon him. He is near. Those who find it are few. But then finally, again, it's a discovery of eternal value. Because when we find Christ, that which he promises he would give, we are locked in for all eternity. And he provides us glimpses of heaven here, even on earth. He wouldn't lie to us. Remember in John chapter 14, he says, in my Father's house, verse 2, there are many mansions. And if it were not so, by the way, I would have told you. I wouldn't have lied to you. You can find joy and peace and eternal rest in this place. Those who find it. To come upon it after searching to find something, we can find Christ. Matthew 6 reminds us, verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Are you worried? Are you concerned about what you shall eat and where you shall live and what you shall put on? Well, the remedy is, instead of worrying, seek the Lord first. Seek him first. Put him first. And his righteousness and all that you have need for, you will find in Christ. Why? He has made himself discoverable. I like that term. I know it's a bit, you know, technical for some of us, but I realize how important that is. Just a few days ago, as I tried to transfer some videos and pictures from my phone taken in Jamaica to my laptop, and I thought you just begin with the phone and you say you want to share it, you want to share, you know, with your Bluetooth option, and so I hit that, but nothing was going. I mean, it wasn't doing a thing. I mean, I'm putting it all up close to my laptop like I see my kids do. Daddy, got to get it closer to the iPad, you know. And there's this little, you know, software on it that they somehow communicate. And then finally, I realized I had to make the laptop itself discoverable. Until I made a laptop discoverable, my little phone, smart as it might be, cannot discover this laptop all on its own. And the beautiful thing about it is God has made himself discoverable. God is a coming down kind of a God. God has rolled back the windows of heaven, as it were, and shown us himself and his love for us. Salvation is available to all of us. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he has made the way for all to come to him. But we must come through Christ and him alone to be saved by grace through faith in Christ alone, his finished work on the cross. But salvation, it needs to be pursued, and we need to discover, we need to find the provision that Christ has made. Many of us have done so, but not all of us have done so. I would say, seek the Lord and seek him now. I would say, turn from your way. You see what that has done to you? Trouble, disgrace to your family, disgrace to yourself, locked up in prison, fired from your job, outcast in society, disease-ridden. That's what you find on the broad path. But Jesus offers another option. We can have life in him, but we must do it now. Today, do it today. It is the day of repentance. Joshua says, when you consider Israel your journey, do you want to go back and serve the gods behind the Midian like our fathers did and suffer God's judgment? He says, you can do that if you want to. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What will you do? Will you choose Christ today? You know the condition of your heart. I don't know it. If you don't know Christ, you know you're on this path and you know what's ahead is destruction. Eternal separation from Jesus Christ. You know it. If I haven't sufficiently convinced you in these few minutes, then I'm not so sure I can, even if I had 50 more minutes. By the way, in Jamaica, we might just be starting. We might have another Eutychus falling out the window, or you all leave and go to your classes and go to the cafeteria to get lunch, wherever you go. But today, now is the time. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and live. For those of us who know Christ as our Lord and Savior, let's live for him. Let's continue to serve him. Let's continue to worship him. Give him our all. Live the life worthy of the call of Jesus Christ. But for others of you today, perhaps you would need to say, just as I am. So choir comes. I come now, Lord, without one plea, but that your blood was shed for me, that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. I pray you would come to Christ today. Oh, the devil might say to you, no, you can't go now. You need to clean your life up first. No, you can't go like that. Jesus says, come just as you are. He will clean you up. You can't clean yourself up. You know it. You have tried. I have tried. I failed every time I had to come to Jesus just as I was then. Every single believer here had to come to Jesus just the way we were. And what did we find? Though our sins be as scarlet, he makes them as white as snow. I pray that you would come to Jesus, that you would come now. But you do have a choice. There are still two gates. One ultimately leads to death, destruction, eternal separation from God. But the other leads to eternal life. Which will you choose?